to continue our series that we're doing on faith, we've talked about a whole lot of stuff. We've talked about renewing your mind mainly, about the process that we go through from changing our inner program that drives our heart. Every one of us are driven by our faith. I don't know that there's really such a thing as lack of faith. It could be wrong faith, but every one of us has a program that drives our life. We make decisions based upon many things. Our lives have been shaped by our experiences, by the family that we were raised in, the concepts that we've been taught about God, about ourselves, about other human beings. You know, if you've been told that you're just no good, amount to nothing, that becomes your belief system. And when that becomes your belief system, you rise no higher than that lid that's set in your life. But one thing that we have learned about the gospel of Jesus Christ is all things are possible to them who believe, and there is no limits in our relationship with God. And we can, to the fullest potential of our design, we can bring glory to God in our lives. We're not talking about magic. I know in the faith movement, you know, some people kind of got excited about some stuff and, you know, they name it and claim it and all of that kind of stuff. But really, when you begin to discover how God put you together and you learn how to cooperate with that, the expression of your faith becomes a natural thing, and God can get glory through your life. But let me say this about living by faith. It's an everyday thing. It's easy to get saved, but it's very challenging to walk as a Christian. It really is. Jesus paid the ultimate price that He could give you the free gift called eternal life. And that's given to you freely. You don't do anything to deserve it or earn it. You just receive it. When you receive that, He transforms your heart. When He transforms your heart, guess what happens next? Then we have to choose to live that out. And therein lies the challenge. And in order for us to live that out, guess what? We have to change the way that we think so that we can learn to think the way that God thinks. And we've been using this little deal. Let's go through it. Your thoughts will produce what? Words. Come on. Let's get engaged here. Your thoughts produce words. Words produce actions. Actions produce habits. Habits produces character. And character produces destiny. If you don't like where you're going, guess what you need to change? You need to change something in that chain. You may have some wrong thinking about certain things. If I am struggling in an area of my life, I need to go back through the process and think, okay, am I thinking right about this? Am I thinking God's thoughts about this? You know, I could choose to be, I could say, I'm going to break every record that Michael Jordan set. You know, I could say that till the cows come home, and that's not going to happen. You know why? First of all, physically, it ain't there. You know what? When I was in school, I was little and slow. I don't have any of the physical attributes. I do not have the discipline that he has. I do not have the work ethic in basketball that he has. So I could just say, okay, I'm going to say that and that's what's going to happen. That's not the way faith works. Faith works within your design. It works within the uniqueness of your life. It works within the way that you're called. You don't get to choose your design. You don't get to choose the family that you were born in. You don't even choose the circumstances that you were raised in. But you can change the bad stuff by using God's stuff. Okay? That's the neat thing about it. You don't change your design, but you can change the bad stuff. And life is learning to live in that balance. And as we learn to change things with the Word of God, this is called faith. We've used words like faith, philosophy, and worldview. How you view the world that you live in. That's the way we view life is the way that we view the world. I mean, what we believe about God, what we believe about ourselves, what we believe about other people, that shapes everything that we do. Now, we've been talking a whole lot about words and thinking and action. I want to go to the Scripture today. We're going to look at three sets of Scriptures that's going to drive this home. So I want you to go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 13. And it says this, "But since we have the same spirit of faith," say this with me, spirit of faith. And when it's talking about spirit of faith, it's not talking about an angel or anything like that, but it's the way that something works, the spirit of the thing. Here is the spirit or the essence. We have the same essence of faith. According to what is written, "I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak." We believe and what? Speak. So believing and speaking. Is that magic? No. But that's part of the process of what we do. The three things that we're going to talk about today is hearing, speaking, and doing. It's real simple. Hearing, speaking, and doing. Those things constitute really what believing or having faith is all about. I know a lot of Christians who talk a good talk. You ever been around anybody that, you know, they talk a good talk, but there's no corresponding action in their life that shows that they really believe something. See, people can say, you know what? I believe you ought to go to church. Well, do you go to church? Well, no, I don't go to church. Then you don't believe it. I believe that you ought to give. Do you give? Well, no. Then you don't believe it. Well, I believe. Well, do you do it? Well, no. Then you don't believe it. The Bible word believing is not a passive word. It's an active word. We believe, therefore we speak. We speak, therefore we do. And it is a natural progression of the thing. Because a lot of people have an empty belief system that they mentally assent that certain things are true, but they don't do them in their lives and they never get the benefit of the thing that they believe. Does that make sense? Is anybody with me today? I believe that everybody ought to get a good education. But what if I don't get an education? Am I going to get the benefits of believing in a good education? No. It's not assenting that something is true is what produces in our life. It's hearing it, speaking it, and doing it. And this is what this talks about. So go with me to Romans 10. This is one of my many favorite scriptures in the Bible. I've got lots of favorite scriptures. In fact, I kind of like the Bible, don't you? The Bible's kind of a neat book. It's God's thoughts in seed form. Can I say that again? The Bible is God's thoughts in seed form. And if you'll put the seed in your heart, you know what it'll do? The seed is the image of the harvest. The seed is the image of the harvest. God's word in your heart will produce the image of the seed. You know what? If you take an acorn, us deer hunters are crying over the acorns this year because the deer won't come to our corn and our other sundry baits because there's so many acorns or acorns. If you're from the north, it's acorns, and we're acorns here. But what is an acorn? It's a seed. What is the image of that seed? It's the oak tree. The seed is the image of the harvest. The kingdom of God is in seed form in the Word. And the seed is the image of the harvest. But it's not until it's planted in the ground of the heart that is able to produce the harvest. It will produce the kingdom. See, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." And it was put in there through the words that He spoke to His disciples. So Romans 10:8. But what does it say? "The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. See, how do we get saved? This tells it right here. First of all, we have to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. It's what we believe about his life, death, burial, and resurrection that constitutes our salvation. It's what you believe about that. Well, I believe Jesus was a good man. You know what? That won't get you saved. I believe Jesus was a prophet. You know, that won't get you saved. You have to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. It's the resurrection. It's the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection from the dead. And our faith in that is the basis of our salvation. So it says if we believe that God has raised him from the dead, and if we confess with our what? Mouth, the Lord Jesus, or Jesus is Lord, and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. That's nothing that you earn. It's just something that you believe and act on. And it talks about hearing it, speaking it, and doing it, okay? Then it goes on to say, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is the process of faith. That's the essence. That is the spirit of faith and how it works. Faith is not a passive word at all. Faith is very active. It's hearing, speaking, and doing. And this is what we're going to look at today. And we're going to look at these verses of Scripture. Then it goes on to say, for the Scripture says, verse 11, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. You know that's comforting. How many of you believed on Jesus? Do you believe that? You know what? The Bible says that you won't be ashamed. You won't be put to shame if you believe. That's comforting to know. Because you know why? We fall short, don't we? We don't quite measure up in every way that we should. But I'm so glad that my relationship is not based on my performance, that I can receive grace and I can receive forgiveness of sins when I fall short, and I can walk with him in fellowship, and I don't have to be perfect. Now, I think we ought to strive to be as good as we can, because people are watching us and we influence other people. We don't need to live hypocritical lives. We don't need to say one thing and do another, because that's not faith either. No, it needs to be a consistent thing. But it's not based on performance. It's based on believing on Jesus. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call on him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Good word. Now, then it goes on to say, then how then shall we call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him with whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Who's the preacher? We're the preachers, aren't we? One thing we're trying to do in this church is to erase the line between laity and clergy. Those are not biblical terms anyway. John Maxwell calls it the clarity. The laity and the clergy is the clarity, because we're all clay and we're all in the same boat, and there's no big I's and little U's. We're all ministers, okay? We're all called to be preachers. You don't have to take a text and preach, but guess what? You can model Christianity. You can share what God has done for you. You can share your testimony with other people. There's so many ways that we can be an influence, and we can show people Christ. And we're all called to be preachers. But unless we go, unless we do those things, people are not going to hear. If they can't hear, they can't believe, and they can't speak, and they can't be saved, because that is the process of faith. It's hearing, speaking, and doing. Okay? How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now that word hearing there is not just, it doesn't mean having heard. It's kind of a continuous thing, continuously hearing. And the ideal there is not just hearing and forgetting about. The ideal there is an understanding or perception. Faith comes by understanding, and understanding comes by the Word of God. So how is it that people are going to believe? They have to hear the Word. They have to hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it. You know what? And then finally it seeps through our lightning fast minds, and we begin to understand, perceive it. And when we begin to understand and perceive it, then guess what we can do? We've heard it. We speak it. We do it. It starts coming alive and working in our lives. Okay, go with me to James chapter 2. We're going to address another thing about the doing. A lot of people talk about faith. A lot of people talk about their faith, but there's no action that follows it. And James was dealing with, I'm sure he's dealing with a group of people here that thought that all they had to do was believe, and that was all that was necessary. That it didn't matter how they lived after that, or nothing was important after that. And he's saying, you're missing the whole thing. Believing is not a passive word. Believing is an action word. See, we don't be good in order to get saved, because you can't be good enough to be saved. I remember years ago, I had a friend. He was in the ministry. In fact, he started this church years ago. He was visiting a church in town, and he went to this church, and he had a little goatee. And the preacher there told him, he says, you know what you need to do? You need to cut off mustache he had. You need to cut that mustache off, get right with God, and serve God. Do you know cutting a mustache off won't get you right with God? Having tattoos removed will not get you right with God. Giving up sin won't get you right with God. Getting married won't get you right with God. It's not our actions that get us right with God. It's our faith. See, it's receiving what Jesus did. That's what gets us right with God. And then He does the work in our heart, because you can't change your heart. You can change your mind, but you can't change your heart. God has to change your heart. And He does that when we believe in Jesus. I was amazed that when I was a kid, I used to have to go to church. And then I got saved one day. And then after that, I didn't have to go to church anymore. I got to go. I wanted to go. My heart changed. Something changed in me that I couldn't change, and it was my inner man. But what would have happened to me if I'd have said, okay, I don't have to go, so I won't go? I wouldn't have grown at all. I wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. Because faith, part of faith is action. And this is what James is talking about in here, because there were people saying, well, all we have to do is believe. We don't have to do anything after that. And he was refuting that. Now, you can't do good works to be saved, but when you get saved, we ought to do good works because of. Not to get to, but because of. Okay? That's a whole different perspective. See, what the law taught, and what the Pharisees and the Sadducees taught, that's why they were always Sadducee, that you were always having to do something in order to attain salvation. Jesus came to taught that salvation is a free gift, and everything that we do is a result of that based on our love for God. All right. Here we go. James 2:14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Now, he wasn't saying that was that we feed people to get saved. He was using that as an example. Somebody has a need and you say, be warm, be filled, be blessed. Do those words help those people? What is it that helps people? You giving to them. One of the reasons we do this clinic. You know, Carrie said it's not a, you know, it's not an outreach of our church, but in a way it is, because your tithes help pay the utilities and the building payment that supplies that deal. Although we don't control the clinic, we consider it part of our church. We don't control it. It's not our organization, but it really it is. I mean, it's a part of what we do. A lot of you volunteer in it. We supply the facilities. We support it. All of those kind of things. So from our standpoint, we consider it part of what we do. But if we love people and we want to help people get well, you know, it's not just good enough to say, be blessed. We need to pray for them. We need to provide medical assistance for those who need it. Just like, you know, those kids that we're trying, or this village that we're trying to drill the well for. You know, be blessed. And they're drinking sewer water. When we have within our means the ability to be the blessing, that's the difference in just empty faith and faith that's at work. That's the comparison that he was making. So just to say, I have faith, doesn't do anything until you begin to demonstrate. And then that releases the power of God in a circumstance, in a situation where things can be accomplished. Faith was not given to us for us to be dormant. Faith was given to us for us to be powerful. Man, y'all quieter than the first crowd this morning. What's up with that? Okay. Verse 17, thus also faith by itself that does not have works is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. He says, show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there's one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Did you know that Satan believes in Jesus? You know why he believes in Jesus? Because he has experienced Jesus. Not in a good way. The Bible says that Jesus spoiled him. That Jesus defeated him. That's a literal defeat where Jesus spoiled principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. He led captivity captive. He triumphed over our enemy. Our enemy is defeated. The devil believes in Jesus. But he's not saved. Not going to get saved. He believes. Does his faith save him? No. He can't be saved. So just because you believe, that just puts you in the class of the devil. Believing alone is not enough. I believe, therefore I, the spirit of faith says, we believe, therefore we speak. Okay? But do you not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with works, and by works faith was made perfect? You know what? Abraham heard the voice of God. He said, go offer your son, your only son Isaac. Abraham spoke what God said. He said to Isaac, God will provide himself a lamb. And then you know what he did? He proceeded to offer Isaac on the altar. And his act of faith was the thing that justified him before God. And because of that, he had a covenant with God. And because of that, that opened the door for God to give his son for us, that we might die, that he might die for us. Okay. And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. So here's the essence of what we're saying today. I want my prayer team to get ready to come. Here's the essence of what we're saying today. That faith, that true Bible faith involves three things. Hearing the word, speaking the Word, and doing the Word. This is where we find our faith becoming flesh. This is where we find our faith becoming active and working and really meaning something. This is where a church that learns to live by love and live by faith can actually begin to make a difference in the community that it lives in. Amen?
Amen.
Prayer team, would you come? We're going to pray a prayer in just a minute. And let me say this. Maybe you're here today. We always want to give opportunity. Maybe you realize that maybe you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you haven't believed on Him that He was raised from the dead. Maybe you haven't confessed Him as Lord. Maybe you have not confessed your sins. Maybe you've not followed Him in baptism. You can do that today. You can make that decision to do that today. All you have to do is open your heart to the Lord. Any one of these people up here can pray that prayer with you. Maybe you're here today and you've been disconnected from the Lord. Maybe you've known Him, but you're not where you need to be with the Lord. And you need to just reconnect. You can do that today. Or maybe you have other kind of concerns in your life. Maybe you have physical problems, financial difficulties, maybe some relationship things that you need to deal with, or someone to agree with you in prayer. As we close this prayer today, we invite you to come. Let's pray together. Father God, in Jesus' name, thank You so much for Your Word today. Thank You that Your Word is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And I believe today, Father God, that You have touched hearts and You've touched lives. And now I'm asking You, sir, to draw the people unto Yourself. And as they come to be ministered to, I pray that Your Spirit would quicken their hearts today. I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.